have to do that with this. And it has a little bit of bearing, but I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 7 for a different reason. Before we look at Matthew chapter 7, though, we're going to be starting at verse 24. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be able to spend in your word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful time that I was able to spend with both my mom and Jane's mom back in Milwaukee. And we thank you that they are still in relatively good health. We're also very thankful that they both know and understand that the sufferings of this world are just for a very short time and aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us someday. And we just thank you, Lord, that they both have a hope of living with you a life for all eternity where there isn't going to be any blindness, deafness, brain aneurysms, or the like, Lord, but that they will be in your presence, sin-free, sickness-free, death-free, for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, if you've already turned there, we're going to start in verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now we know, we've often read the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, that states that henceforth we know the Lord Jesus Christ no more. We know, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth we know him no more. We also understand the need to rightly divide the word of truth. And there are many sayings that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. Just for a few, just turn to Ephesians. And this also doesn't have a whole lot to do with loving the word of loving God or his word. But I just want to point out when the Lord Jesus Christ that talks about here who hears these sayings and does them shall be likened unto. Well, there's some sayings that the risen Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we could read through the rest of the chapter, because there's actually more things to do and not to do in the remainder of the chapter of what I just read. The point is what I want to make is that when it says in Matthew, he that heareth these sayings and doeth them. Well, here's some sayings right here that were just as real for Paul as hearing them directly from the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Because he literally did hear them directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And since he put these words in a Bible that is pure and without error, has been preserved from us, when you read the words on the page, it's no different. In fact, according to Peter himself, what you have is sure than what Peter heard when he heard the Lord Jesus Christ sitting side by side or directly across from him. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter, what you have here are the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back to Matthew chapter 7 there for a second. And before you discard the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, without going into a lot of detail, we're going to find out that every single one of them applies to us today in the dispensation of grace. Because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it doesn't say, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man. It says, he whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And the these sayings, in a nutshell, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but verses 2 through 5 are sayings concerning hypocrisy. Those sayings are just as valid in the dispensation of grace as they were then. The Word of God tells us to do things, certain things, not to do certain things. And if we are like the Pharisees, teaching people not to do those things but doing them ourselves, the instruction is good. There's also instructions about not casting your pearls before swine. There's also instructions on giving, giving to people that need. Literally talks about, you know, what parent, if their child asked for bread, would you give them a stone? If somebody asked you for a fish to eat, would you give them a serpent? So there's instructions on there. Verse 12 that we looked at in Luke in the conference is another one of the Gospels that states what we know as the golden rule in verse 12. Verse 13 and verse 14 are instructions that we need to follow also, and that most religions of the world do not. They go hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ's instructions, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not I am a way, I am the way. Those things tell us that narrow is the gate. There aren't many ways to get to God. It's a narrow gate, it's a straight gate that leads to eternal life. Then in verses 15 and 16, there's a warning, much as what we saw in Romans chapter 16, and it's almost identical to the warning that Paul gives in Acts chapter 20 to be aware of false prophets. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, it says, take heed, and beware. They mean the same thing. But beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Almost the same words that are used there in Acts chapter 20. Then, of course, in Galatians, the warning in chapter 1 about preaching any other gospel or listening to people that are preaching any other gospel. Then in verses 17, 18, 19 is very good advice concerning corrupt men and men that are pure. It talks about their fruit you shall know them. It's very good advice today also. But the reason that I chose to start out the chapter or the message in the book of Matthew is two phrases almost identical in Matthew chapter 7 there it uses, where it says, I will liken him unto a wise man in verse 24, and then in verse 26, the person that shall be likened unto a foolish man. What I want to talk about this morning is all the places, well, not all, we don't have time, but several places where the Word of God is likened to something. And when you think about you love God, you love His Word, why? Well, the Word of God gives numerous illustrations in ways that you and I can understand with things that we see, we can identify. And it says the Word of God is like this. Well, if you understand, well, I like that, then you can understand why the Word of God is actually so good like it says it is. First one I want you to look at is Psalms chapter 119 and verse 5, or 119, 105. which most of you probably have memorized. Psalms 119, verse 105. And let's see, all except for maybe Josie here, you've all been saved a long time. And you there's not a single thing I'm going to tell you this morning that you aren't always very well aware of. But I know the words of Andre Crouch's song, "Take Me Back." Take me back, to, dear Lord, to the place where I first believed. Sometimes you get taken back. Why did you originally love God's Word? The number one reason is what? It saved you from hell, right? The Word of God, we're going to look at a verse. The Word of God is perfect, converting the soul, or the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's definitely a love for God immediately when you first get saved. But there are so many other things that the cares of life can sort of forget about how awesome and how wonderful God's Word is. You know, don't be with God's Word as the one guy told his wife, "Hey, I told you I loved you the day I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." Don't do that with God's Word. Every day it should be, "I love this. I love this Word, and I can't do without it." Look at verse 105 says, though, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So why is that a reason to love God and His Word? I only got, what, one family of farmers here? I guess we have half farmers, goat farmers. But imagine going out to your barn this night and you're walking out there without a flashlight. Imagine being on the edge of a cliff. Imagine driving down the road in the middle of Montana or some other place, and there's no lights, and turning off your headlights. You would very quickly value having light. And that verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," what does that verse mean to you? What does that verse speak of? When you think, what is the Word of God providing in that verse by saying it's a lamp under your feet and a light under your path? It's guidance. What else? It's truth. What else? When you think about being on that cliff, yeah, it's protection. And also, when you're going down a road and there's a fork in the road, what if you miss the fork? You don't even see the other one. It literally provides direction also. So there's a lot of verse or reasons. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, and think about, why do you need a light? Why is it, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path"? Do you need a light right now? Oh, we got them turned on here. Pretty much outside, you don't. It's light out. Why is it important that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We, for a totally different reason, looked at this verse in our Bible study on Wednesday, where we looked at a little bit about the horror of great darkness that came over Abraham and what the horror of great darkness was. We saw that was God showing Abraham in a dream all the horror, all the darkness of sin that he had taken him out of. And Isaiah chapter 9 pretty much says the same thing in verse 2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." It's not talking about they lived in Alaska during a certain time of the year where it doesn't get light. It's not talking about being in a place that has got so much jungle, it's darkness. The verse is talking about spiritual darkness. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." The great light they saw was the living word talked about so well by Larry in John chapter 1. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Where is that on your map? Where is the land of the shadow of death? You know where it is on your map? It's right out there. It's anywhere. Anywhere where a person is not saved, the wages of sin is death. The people that walk in darkness, they walked according to the course of this world. It's Satan's kingdom is always identified as being dark. There's no light, but there's no darkness in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is light only. So those people that dwell in the shadow of death, they dwell in the shadow of death based upon the wages of their sin. It was death. But if you're walking in darkness, and that darkness leads you to death, there's a definite love. Wow, I have light. The light has come. You turn that light switch on, it's a great thing. So, number one, the Word of God was light. In John, in fact, go there once, John chapter 1, just want to cover some of the verses, again, that Larry covered. Verse 4, in him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness. That's in that spiritual darkness talked about in Isaiah. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump down to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. The Word of God, not only, you know, it's amazing to me. The Word of God is not just merciful. Merciful would just be turning on the light. Okay, you're no longer walking in darkness. But grace is what that verse talks about, becoming the sons of God. You know, just to say, okay, I'm going to take you out of this darkness and I'm going to put you in a light place here, and now I'm just going to let you go on, and you go on your merry way through the light. You're still in darkness, even though the light is turned on. The light had come, and the darkness still didn't comprehend it, but those people that came to the light believed in the light, accepted the light, you know, being the Son of God, the Word of God, the living Word, gave them power to become the sons of God. Also, look at Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 140. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 140. And here's one here. It gives you a hint, just flat out tells you. It doesn't leave any doubt as to whether why you should love God and his word. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Why is that important to you? You think about today in our society with man, the pride of man. Even the pride of man leads him to acknowledge that there is nothing pure. We all know that there is something pure. It's this book. But think about it. What is stamped on gold and silver? That's pure gold and silver. Yeah. Yeah, or just 0.999. Can you imagine that 0.001%? You're drinking your drinking water. It's pure drinking water. I know in my water filtration system in my house, it says this pretty much the same thing. It catches 0.9999% of all known contaminants. Well, I'm already worried about the unknown contaminants, but I'm also worried about that 0.001% of mercury that could be in my water. I'm worried about that 0.001% of strychnine that could be in my food. And you think about this, how many of you people, well, I think you all have, you got a thing of food. The thing that came to my mind is my pure psyllium husk. And yet on the manufacturer's label, as it does on almost anything you buy, it says this thing was processed in a plant that had gluten products in it, peanut products in it, soy products in it, and dairy products in it. Why the need to do that if it's pure? What's that? But what is it in effect? It's an acknowledgement that it is not pure. Yeah. If it was pure, they wouldn't have a warning. I don't have to warn people that the Word of God is pure. I just believe it. But think about pure. Your food, your water. How about your gas, your oil? Any of you ever putting gas in your car and you notice your car didn't work real good? Hopefully that doesn't happen. It's only happened to me twice in my entire life, and none in the last 30 years, believe it or not. But I went to a gas station that was literally shut down. I don't know if it was by accident or if they were stupid enough to think that they can make a few bucks in the short term by mixing gas with water. But I got water in my thing, just like, and everybody's car in Oceanside, California was doing the same thing. They went to that gas station, water and oil. And it doesn't take much water in your gasoline engine to screw it up. But it's very important that the Word of God is pure and you can rely on it. Look at Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. Psalms chapter 19, and verse 7, verse I just referred to a minute ago. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now that word simple there is one we looked at in great detail and we completed the book of Romans. And the word simple there is the first simple that we came to in Romans chapter 16, where simple means the person that's uninformed, unsuspecting, naive, gullible, whatever. But the Word of God, why do you love it? Because how many people here were always smart, always knew everything? I wasn't. And if you don't have this book, you can be 80 years old and gone through all life's experience and still be simple. You don't have a clue about what the spiritual warfare that's going on. You don't have an idea, and you're falling for every one of Satan's snares. You're falling into pitfalls. Stuff is getting screwed up in your life. But the Word of God, why I love it, is able to make this simple man wise. The word perfect, the word sure, they go hand in hand. They pretty much have the same meaning as pure. There are different shades of meaning, though. But the law of Lord is perfect. You think about pure, it's not mixed with anything, but what does perfect mean?
Error.
Yeah, without error, without blemish. So there, it would say the same word if it meant the exact same thing, I think. But it's very close to it. And then the testimony of the Lord is pretty sure. No, it's sure. Look in Romans. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. When you think about that issue about the Word of God being able to make wise the simple. It brings to me a phrase that's often used in the secular world of the word. What does it mean to desire something? Is it a stretch to say that you love it? You want it? I think that when you talk about loving God and His Word, desiring God and His Word, why? That ye may grow thereby. And we should always eat food once a week. We should always wear clothes once a week. Think so? No. That ye may grow thereby. You grow every single day of the year physically. I think I'm growing the other way, quite frankly. But as a child, you know, you look at Josie, she's constantly growing and she's getting stronger. But the Word of God, it's something that causes us to grow spiritually. And just for that word reason alone, we should love the Word of God. Look also at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8 is another verse that I alluded to in the at the Bible conference, where I talked about loving and forgiving your enemies. What is one of the real benefits of loving and forgiving your enemies? What is the benefit to you, not your enemy? What is the benefit to you? Your health. Think about it. If you put away bitterness, wrath, and stuff like that, instead of all being bound up, you just take it to the Lord and dump it there. He has big shoulders. He can handle it. Take it to the Lord in prayer and just leave it there. But here, once again, we all read verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When you're trusting in the Lord, you are, by definition, trusting in what? His Word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Why? Because He's also the lamp under your feet, the light under your paths. But look at verse 8, when it says that when you do that, when you trust in the Lord, when you trust in His Word, it shall be just what that milk in 1 Peter 2 is designed to do. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Drink your milk, makes your bones strong. Eat your spinach, makes you be able to see better. I always heard somebody told, eat spinach, it'll make your eyes blue. Really? I don't know why somebody would say that, or why somebody would want to have blue eyes. I love blue eyes myself, but there's no food that's going to make you have blue eyes. Suppose it's possible if you already have blue eyes, it might get bluer. But the point is, the Word of God is health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Why would you love something like that? Well, think about this. If you've ever watched television, and I do, I'm guilty, and I watch the Me Channel because it's all the stuff I watched when I was a little kid, and they must know their demographic of who's watching this stuff, because there's no commercials that were on TV when I was a little kid. Like, let's get Mikey, he'll eat anything. There's no advertisements for Eating Life cereal. There's no advertisements for running shoes. There's no advertisement for clothes. There's no advertisements for any of the stuff on any other channels you see on TV. It's all advertisements, for the most part, about drugs. That's all it is. Because they know I'm going to be 60 years old this year. They know that Pat, oh man, he needs drugs. Greg needs, we all need drugs. We're old. We all are decaying. We're all dying. So just take this drug. And those drugs all tell you that if you take this, there's a possibility that you'll have less side effects from what you're dealing with, that you'll have less complications with the disease you're facing. None of them guarantee it at all. And most of them are, at least, it's amazing, I hate to say Big Pharma is truthful, but they're honest enough to tell you it won't work all the time. And they're also honest enough to tell you that some of the side effects are worse than what it is that you're taking the drug for in the first place. And I don't like that. I like this verse. It shall be, not it won't, it might be, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In closing, just because you guys, some of you have to get out of here. Oh man, I got more pages to go. But we'll just do this anyway. Here's the guarantee. I like this verse for so many reasons. And it is, as I've stated numerous times, my favorite verse in the Bible. Here is the guarantee. God will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And I'm not going to expound about how it's health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Think about it. Just trust me, it is. But here's the guarantee. First Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which some of the time works effectually in some of you. No, it is the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God guarantees me in that verse that it will work as it is designed to 100% of the time in 100% of the people that believe it. Now, if you want to call that the placebo effect, I actually personally do believe in the placebo effect. I think that there's been enough evidence that that does work. But this isn't the placebo effect. This is God saying, if you do this, this will be the result. And you just believe that. Think about it, just if you believe the word of God, it's going to effectually work in you. How about believing this verse? You might believe other people, their demographic of who's watching this stuff. Because there's no commercials that were on TV when I was a little kid. Like, let's get Mikey, he'll eat anything. There's no advertisements for eating Life cereal. There's no advertisements for running shoes. There's no advertisement for clothes. There's no advertisements for any of the stuff on any other channels you see on TV. It's all advertisements, for the most part, about drugs. That's all it is. Because they know I'm going to be 60 years old this year. They know that Pat, oh man, he needs drugs. Greg needs, we all need drugs. We're old. We all are decaying. We're all dying. So just take this drug. And those drugs all tell you that if you take this, there's a possibility that you'll have less side effects from what you're dealing with, that you'll have less complications with the disease you're facing. None of them guarantee it at all. And most of them are, at least, it's amazing, I hate to say Big Pharma is truthful, but they're honest enough to tell you it won't work all the time. And they're also honest enough to tell you that some of the side effects are worse than what it is that you're taking the drug for in the first place. And I don't like that. I like this verse. It shall be, not it won't, it might be, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In closing, just because you guys, some of you have to get out of here. Oh man, I got more pages to go. But we'll just do this anyway. Here's the guarantee. I like this verse for so many reasons. And it is, as I've stated numerous times, my favorite verse in the Bible. Here is the guarantee. God will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And I'm not going to expound about how it's health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Think about it. Just trust me, it is. But here's the guarantee. First Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which some of the time works effectually in some of you. No, it is the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God guarantees me in that verse that it will work as it is designed to 100% of the time in 100% of the people that believe it. Now, if you want to call that the placebo effect, I actually personally do believe in the placebo effect. I think that there's been enough evidence that that does work. But this isn't the placebo effect. This is God saying, if you do this, this will be the result. And you just believe that. Think about just, if you believe the word of God, it's going to effectually work in you. How about believing this verse? You might believe other portions of the word of God and say, well, I believe that, but I don't believe this. Well, the portions of the word of God that you say that you believe, how is that going to work in you if you don't even believe the verse that guarantees you that the word of God will effectually work in you when you believe it? So think about all those things and the reasons that we have for loving God and His Word. Do you love God's Word more than your possessions? Do you love God's Word more than your food? Do you love God's Word more than your friends? Do you love God's Word more than your recreation? Every one of those things is going to pass away. You're not going to be able to take except your saved friends to heaven with you. And everything else is got a partial guarantee. The money back guarantee. If it doesn't work, bring it back. That's not a guarantee. That's just saying we know it won't work, so when it doesn't work, bring it back. And if we're still in business 20 years later, we'll refund you your money. If you have the original receipt and this and this and this. That doesn't sound like a guarantee to me at all. God's word is a lamp under your feet. It is a light under your path. It's as the song sings that Abel always sings, it is a well of water. And closing with the, I think I said I was going to close before, but closing with the original verses that we looked at, it's a firm foundation on which we stand, according to that song, according to the verse. The word of God, he that doeth these things. You follow the instructions, and specifically the instructions given to us by the Apostle Paul, but there's numerous instructions, just like we saw in that passage in Matthew. That whole chapter applies to us. And there's many verses, as we found at the conference, as we're reading all these verses out of the Old Testament. They apply to us just as equally as they did to them. They're transdispensational principles, and you follow these things, and it's health to you. It's joy. It's happiness. It's guidance. It's peace. It's all those things. So, like I said, these are all things that you already knew, but to repeat them is safe. And I just rejoice in this book. Had a missionary that spoke to us when I was about 14 years old at Northern Grace Youth Camp. He closed one of his messages, and I'll never forget it because it was so genuine with him. He got done. He was like 60-some years old, and he almost did a little dance. It was the Word of God. I love it. And to this day, there's people that I went to camp with that I said, do you remember when Finley Hunter said that? He goes, yeah. Do you remember anything else he said? Nope. But I remember that guy was so excited about the Word of God. The Word of God, I love it. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be able to spend in your Word today. We thank you so much, Lord, for good mothers, mothers that have taken your Word and applied your Word to the way that they raised their children. They brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those children that mothers have raised that have in turn had their own child and are raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would give all mothers strength, because it is a very hard job, it's a very difficult job, but your word equips us to be able to bring honor and glory to you in that instruction of raising our children. We just thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for like-minded saints. And Lord, we just pray for the Rowe family. We pray that they would have a good time today with Dan and Jackie. And we ask that Mary Ellen would continue her recovery from her labor. And we just thank you, Lord, for all those others that are on the road today, possibly traveling to see parents, that they would have a safe journey, if it be your will, Lord. And we just look forward to meeting with each other again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.